As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm pleased to be here with you, given the opportunity that we discuss the things that are on your mind and that are impacting our lives today and in the future. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come right back as we continue to carry on and determine what it is we need to discuss in today's show.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask. Cool J.
Is there anybody in love?
Happens, it means that we have to work even harder to make sure our voices are heard. We realize now that there are people in place who are turning back, trying to turn back the hands of time. And we cannot allow the hands of time to be turned back in a fashion that eliminates the voices of people of color. We have to make sure our voices are heard and not silenced.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
This is James C. Deshay, and we want to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear. How are you doing this afternoon, Cassie?
Good afternoon, Mr. Deshay. I'm doing well, getting ready to go inside of church in about 20 minutes, so I decided to come on and hang out with you guys.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, you know, the other day we gave everyone an opportunity to pray for our country and for the show, and we did not give you that opportunity because you didn't come on the show. So I'd like to just always knowing that there is something in your heart that you want to share with not only those of us who on the show on a regular basis, but with our audience, we want to give you the opportunity to express your thoughts and prayers that you think that our Father should be aware of in order to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Amen. So you're saying that this is an opportunity to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, first we just want to thank you, Father, for this day, for this time, for this hour, right here in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask you right now, Father, to touch our president, Father God, Father, to send your angels, Father, in the White House, Father. Surround him, Father God, with Holy Ghost filled spirit people, Father, that will be able to speak and pray for him concerning this country in the name of Jesus. And Father, even as you have turned the hearts of kings, Father, we know that you can turn the heart of our president, Donald Trump. And Father, we ask that you would bless him, bless his family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give him wisdom, Father, that he may be able to speak positive, Father God, and not negative, Father God, that the people will begin to love him, Father God, and not curse him, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we have seen you do it before, and Father, we know that you can do this little thing, Father, all over the country. Father, as people are praying, Father, right now, Father God, may they even lift up holy hands, for this president in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to pray. We thank you for even the talk show, Mr. James DeShane, Father God. And you know his heart desire, Father, is to change the lives of people, Father, to change the lives of this time, Father God. So, Father, continue to give him wisdom, Father. Continue to send people, Father, around him and even on the show, Father God, to be able to show, Father God, the people, Father God, that we are, Father God, people that want to do, Father God, and just want a second chance, Father God, in life, not because of the color of our skin, but who we are in our hearts, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, and for every person that will listen to this, you know their desires, you know what's going on in their lives, you know what they need, Father. So I ask you, Father, to bless them, Father God, to give them wisdom, Father, to open doors and shut doors that need to be shut in their lives, Father. The ones that have called out to you and haven't heard anything, Father God, move on their behalf in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you, and it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
All right, Kathy, we know your heart is always in the right place, and we want to always extend to people the opportunity when it comes time to ask for our Creator's spirit and promises over our country. Kathy, is there anything on your mind this particular Sunday? You know, we always on Sunday talk about what's on people's minds related to what's going on in their communities, or what's going on in their states or our country, that we want to be open to discussing anything that might be on your mind. So, what is there anything on your mind today that you'd like to share with everyone?
Well, you know what? Not really. There's nothing really pressing on my heart and my mind concerning anything. I mean, like I said, I'm getting ready to go into church so I can get a word for today. But I know that we as a people, we need to begin to stand together more. You know, when we're out about on the streets and in the grocery stores or at dinner, just smile, you know, speak to people. It's going to be okay. Whatever it is, it's not that bad, you know. And if you're not in the hospital connected to a tube, then you're going to be okay. There is a way out. So my thing would be for people to just, you know, begin to love on one another more. When 9/11 happened, when we have terrible incidents, it seems that that's the only time that people want to come together and, you know, connect. But no, connect all the time, because you don't know who you're passing by. You don't know who that person is sitting over at that other table. It may be somebody that's sitting there waiting to be a blessing to you. So that's my only thing, is that we smile more. You know, it's not that hard. You know, smile. It don't cost you anything. I'm not asking you for no money. Just smile, you know, say hello, good morning, good afternoon. If it ain't good to you, it may be good to somebody else. Just say morning, afternoon, whatever it is. And when you go to bed at night, just ask for peace in your sleep. So that's it for me, James.
All right, Kathy, you know, you always lay a foundation for love on our show, and I appreciate that. You know, I have to talk about the things that are impacting the world, and sometimes those things are evil-spirited. And so it's important that we recognize that we need to focus on love and happiness to balance out the evil that is going on in our society. You know, I sit back and I watched recently where a police officer now is being charged with murder in Texas, where he fired into an occupied car and shot a young man a number of times, and now the young man has passed away. And a mother finds herself having to bury her 15-year-old who went to a party with his older brother and who's supposed to be a part of a football team. And now he finds himself no longer with us. And those kind of things we have to address, because it's important that we recognize that if people think police officers behaving in this fashion is okay, then they will continue that. So it's important for us when we see issues that are not acceptable that we make sure that our voices are heard so that we will not be tolerating the evil that exists in our society. You know, it's a lot of people who think and behave in certain ways only because they think it's okay and they can get away with it. And only those of us who believe or who are believers and who want peace in our society, we have to fight against those kind of behaviors. I see we have somebody on the line with the last four digits in their number, 4216. Give us your name and where you're calling from, and what's on your mind this evening? Are you there? All right. Well, we're going to continue to just talk about the kind of things that are going on in our nation. You know, recently the House approved a replacement for Obamacare, and we now have to deal with the issues that may how we may be impacted by this change in our health insurance. And it's important to realize that, you know, I just feel that our country is not protecting its citizens in the right fashion. One of the things I believe as a United States citizen is that our country should be responsible for educating its citizens, and it should be responsible for the health care of our citizens. And so, therefore, I think there are two things that you should be guaranteed when you're born in the society or born in the United States of America. You should be guaranteed an opportunity to educate yourself so that you can become a major part of this country through your ability to work and pay taxes. And then the country is also obligated to keep you healthy so that you can continue to pay those taxes without any infirmities that may make you a major liability. So it's in the best interest of our country to educate our children. It's in the best interest of our country to keep everyone healthy so that they can continue to work. These are the kinds of things that we have to think about when we're thinking about what is it that our country owes us in terms of being citizens. There are too many countries around the world that have health care for all of their citizens. And being that we were the richest country in the world, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to provide that same type benefit. And I'm concerned about the Republican Party seemingly wanting to turn back the hands of time, where they're reducing the tax on the rich while increasing the burden on the middle class. There's no reason why the middle class should be the ones, the main ones, with the burden of paying for all the things that we need as a society. We have to work through this and find a way that the taxation of Americans in the United States is done equally or done fairly. And right now it doesn't seem like the Republican Party is willing or focused on making the taxation of its citizens in a fair fashion. We're going to take another break and come back and continue our conversation. All right with me. Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am an educator, and I've been an educator for more than 30 years. I recently retired in January, and now I am doing what I call my second phase of life. My first phase of life required that I
graduate from college, find a way to take care of myself and work long enough and hard enough to make a living. So now I've made that living, and now I'm given an opportunity to do what I want to do. So my second phase of life gives me an opportunity to do what I want to do without fear that somehow I'll lose my home or lose a lifestyle that I enjoy. So right now it gives me the chance to come on this show and share my thoughts with you regarding where I believe that we are as a nation. I've spent my 50-plus years in America, believing in America and wanting a part of what we call the apple pie, the American apple pie. And what that is an opportunity to live your life on whatever level your talents will give you. But there have been times when people who have held office or people who were in leadership chose not to allow everybody an equal opportunity to carve out a slice of that American apple pie. And now it seems to me that we find ourselves going in the opposite of direction, where we are opening our country up to not only to individuals here in America, but also to immigrants. We're trying to close the door of our United States to people that were truly welcomed at one time. And as a Democrat, you know, people want to say I'm a liberal. And I'm a liberal because I care for people. I care for everyone. I would like to believe that I'm not racist. I don't have any issues against white America. I do call white America out sometimes because I believe there are people in white America who would rather the country go in the wrong direction if it's going to give a better opportunity to immigrants and to people of color. So I think there are a lot of people in America who are truly biased. And so my show is here so that we can call out those biases that exist in America that are not in the best interest of all Americans. When we want our police force to behave in a better fashion, that's not just for people of color, but that is for everybody. We don't choose or want to live in a country where our police force runs shotgun over the citizen. We want our police force to respect the citizenry and treat everyone in the same manner. But we know that that is not true. So therefore, we have to be prepared and ready to talk against those situations that we find to be racist or to be biased. We have to be open to standing up and marching when the time comes so that those in leadership know that we're not going to tolerate our citizens being treated unfairly. Life begins with making sure that our country follows the Constitution. And there are times when our country is not following the Constitution and is not treating the citizenry in the right way. And when that happens, we have to stand up and be counted. I am so looking forward to the midterm election, where I'm hoping that those who were not counted during the president election will see fit to reemerge during the second, during the midterm elections, to reevaluate the direction our country is going in. We have to make sure we're ready for the challenge. And as a Democrat, it's important for me to encourage those who stayed on the sidelines during the presidential elections to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. How are you doing this evening, Andre?
Superbly. Hello to everyone.
Well, Andre, you missed out on Kathy's prayer today. I gave Kathy an opportunity to give a prayer because she was not in place a few days ago when we all were given the opportunity to pray for our country. So she was going in church tonight. But let me ask you, we've had a very heavy week this week with a lot of different things going on. Is there anything that is on your mind this evening? I wanted to give everybody Sunday an opportunity to talk about what was on their mind. So let me open that up to you. If there's anything on your mind, what is it you'd like to discuss that you heard about this week or this weekend that has stayed with you?
Well, I surely missed an opportunity of hearing Kathy pray because I do know she is a prayer warrior and that there is power in prayer. And I know that she did an outstanding job, and I just received her prayer. And I'm thankful that you provided not only her but all of us an opportunity to do that. If I had to reflect on a thought for this evening, it would have to go back to earlier today. The message today came from Matthew, and it was just the story of us being the light of the world. And in today's time, what better reminder of knowing that, when you have darkness and you have light, one have to be displaced. Meaning that darkness can't withstand the same environment of light. And in this season, in this time right now, how important is it for us to be the light for so many reasons on so many different levels? We talk about our economy. We talk about our political status. We talk about health issues. We talk about relationships. And just knowing that we are empowered and we are strengthened to be in this very moment, at this very time, for a purpose and for a reason. And no matter how it looks, no matter how it seems, that we can stand and we can truly bring positive to a negative, what seems to be a negative situation. So no matter what the situation is, we know that we are capable that that's within us, we're capable. And the Lord has given us the ability to think. He has given us the ability to utilize wisdom. So whatever situation is, whatever problem there's an answer. And it's not about putting another person down in order to pick ourselves up. But we have to be unified. We have to communicate. We have to encourage. And we have to act. Those are things that we have to do. So that's my thought, to know that do we have challenges? Yes, because we will have trials and tribulations, and this is what we're faced with. But the character of who we truly are depends on how we respond to any issue, whether it's in our personal life, whether it's in our business, or whether it's in our communities, how we respond to issues that's face to us. Our First Lady Michelle Obama said it well, and how profound people are saying it. But if we think about it truly, when they go low, then we go high. And that's a strong, powerful statement. It's a simple one, but it is a value because people can hit you below the belt. People can do you wrong. And it's at that time that you let your light shine and you stand and you take the high road. And, we just know and believe that love always conquers hate. And it's a good time. It's an exciting time to be alive, and we are just the people for this given time.
Well, you know, part of, you know, prior to you coming on, I was sharing with everyone the reason that I felt comfortable about you, about being a Democrat. And the reason for that is because I believe in the Democratic Party's willingness to serve people and trying to do what is in the best interest of all Americans. And sometimes I believe that the Republican Party loses sight of what is in the best interest of all Americans, because they look to serve, as I believe, those who are the richest among us. And so I try to believe that despite my hard work and my efforts to be a part of the middle class and to be not be a burden on my country, that I have a responsibility to look out for those who might be falling short. And so I find in this present administration that there is not enough caring and feeling for those who are holding on to the short end of the stick. And so it's difficult for me to understand why America has chosen this direction that in some ways seems like we're incapable of finding empathy for those people who may have lost their way. And I challenge our elected officials to recognize that all people deserve to be the opportunity to go to a doctor, that you should not have to pay more for your insurance because you have a issue with your genes that was at birth that means that you're going to have a pre-existing illness. And so that sometimes there's not enough empathy around our country for people who may not be on top of their game. So what do you think our government's responsibility is for looking after the people who may not be a part of the working class?
Well, also during the message today, the pastor had an opportunity to share that he had to take a trip. He had death in his family, and while he was in New York, his son-in-law drove him and his wife over to do the African-American Museum. And one thing he brought out, he said, let us not forget that it's American history cannot be without sharing African-American history. And he said, let it be known and don't forget that not only did African-Americans build what we know as the United States, but they also built Europe. So I do believe, and then he went on to say, let us be reminded that politicians sometimes forget that it is us that they're working for, us, the ones that's voted and stuff. And that's what we have to be mindful of. So to answer your question, the accountability and responsibility of our elected officials is to make sure that they are representing us in our best interest. So to me, I would say that, you know, our environment should be safe. We should feel protected. Our health shouldn't be an issue. All of us should be able to get the medical care that we need. We should have an environment that promotes thinking and doing our best for not only our current generation but for generations to come. And I think that is the responsibility of those in which are elected to serve us, the people.
And I'm afraid because it seems like our elected officials don't seem able to create a fair tax assessment that we may need to go to a flat tech so that there is no disenchantment with the way that our tax burden is distributed. It just seems to me that those people who are rich should not pay a smaller tax rate than the one that I'm paying. And so often when we hear in things like the present president giving tax relief to the rich or to the 1% and not giving that same type of tax relief to the middle class, then I tend to feel like I'm being treated unfairly. And so we need to kind of be a part of the conversation so that our elected officials fully understand that the middle class has a dog in this fight as well, and that we're not being mistreated because of where the tax relief seems to be going. We're going to take another short break. We're at the 45-minute mark, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. Thank you.
what were the kinds of things that have determined your party affiliation, or what was it that you gravitated toward that made you come to understand what direction you wanted our government to go in?
Well, the honor of growing up in a household that took the political process seriously helped me. And then as I've become older and become an adult, I realize it even more. And I do just, I more associate with people of what they stand for and what they plan to do. I go from there. And that has helped me to just look at over the years what has served my best interest and the best interest of those philosophies, organizations, and environmental processes that aligns with mine.
You know, a lot of people want to call Bernie Sanders a socialist, and I don't think of myself as a socialist, but I love capitalism. I think capitalism inspires more people to greatness than any other type of method related to governing people. So I truly believe in capitalism, but I also believe in serving people. You know, I don't believe that you can be so focused on being rich that you don't see the need to serve people and do what is in the best interest of people. Everybody can't be millionaires. And so there are going to be people who have to serve our country on the bottom line. And when you choose to serve the country on the bottom line, you need to be respected and cared for just like the people at the top. And that means that those people deserve to have the benefit of the government looking out for their best interest, to provide them with health care, make sure that whoever is the CEO of their company is not treating them unfairly, paying them a good wage based on the amount of profits that are received from that company. So though I was not a Bernie Sanders fan, I believed in some of the things that he was doing, like raising the minimum wage. I don't feel comfortable that a person who is working hard for 40 hours can truly take care of themselves and their family on $8.50. And so I believe that places that have salaries of $8.50 need to do a better job and need to be encouraged by our government to increase salaries so that people can, what Bernie Sanders called, a living wage. And what are your thoughts about a living wage, companies being forced to raise their minimum wage? Audrey?
Yes, I think we have to identify what a living wage really should be, because there are so many people that's working, but yet the salary that they're making is not sufficient in maintaining all the minimum requirements providing for a household. So I think that should be an item that's identified by our government. And companies, of course, they can go beyond that, but I think we as a country need to have established a living wage requirement.
Yeah, it seems like in a country that is one of the richest, if not the richest country in the world, needs to provide a minimum wage that would allow a person to work a full-time job in the service industry, be it hotel or restaurant, and still be able to come home with enough money to care for a small family. Now, we're not necessarily saying that one job should care for 10 people, but certainly one man working 40 hours should be able to care for himself, his wife, and a couple of children. And, again, not meaning that he's going to live in the most expensive place, but at least be able to keep a roof over his head and keep the electricity on. And I just feel like
it should be nice. And he should be able to be proud of being a working person. He or she should be a working person, and yet they are coming home, you know, after working so hard, they are coming home to a nice place in which they could say, yeah, this is what I'm working for. This is what I am providing my family, and make it worthwhile. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've come to a day and age, and it seems like things have gotten worse for the middle class, because there was a period of time when a man working full-time could care for a family and his wife could stay home. But in today's society, it takes two incomes to have an average middle-class working environment. So actually, we seem to have been going backwards, even though that the salaries are increasing, it's taking more money to do the minimum. And certainly that does not seem fair for somebody who is working a full-time job.
And look at what it means when you have both parents are working outside of the home too, because we're sacrificing something. When we're sending that child to latchkey or after school care or whatever the case may be, then we're giving up something. We're sacrificing something for that. So you're exactly right. Whereas the thought was, you know, both people working, we could get farther ahead, but in reality, what's the cost? Did we weigh the whole cost that's involved?
Yeah, because we're losing the supervision of our children, and therefore some of them are finding themselves in harm's way. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, why are we sacrificing the overseeing of our children because both parents have to work two full-time jobs? And certainly I know that both my parents worked full-time jobs, but my mother was a teacher, so she was getting off at the same time I was getting out of school, so I was still had supervision. But a lot of people don't have that as an option, and they find themselves having a lot of children to be in after-school programs or to be waiting at home for them when they get off work. And these are creating some major issues in our inner cities when a lot of kids are being not overseen and have to go to the recreational centers in order to get after-school care. And we're spending an awful lot of money on jails and juvenile detention centers where that money could be better well spent in supporting our families to better take care of our children.
Yes, I agree completely, and that's exactly what I was implying. As you know, we have to weigh the cost while you receive it on one end, but you're losing something on the other. So, we have to make sure that we are mindful of that.
Well, let me just ask you, you were away when Kathy was praying, and she was doing something that you have also done, and Kathy was asking that our Creator give insight and support to Donald Trump and assist him in doing the best that he can. And I know you have a mindset on wanting the Republican Party to to be successful as they move forward, because their success will also be the success of the United States as a whole, for all the citizens of the United States. What are your thoughts about them looking as though they may be getting rid of Obamacare, and what we'll be facing as a nation if their program seems to be put in place?
Well, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. Unfortunately, I haven't studied enough and received all the information. I do know that there were opportunity with Obamacare, but I think it was at a point that we just needed to tweak a few things. Now, if their whole goal, of course, was to just eliminate everything that President Obama had accomplished. So with that elimination comes a lot of people who were receiving the care that they were required to live no longer will have that, no longer will be able to potentially afford it, because it's my understanding that they plan to give each state so much money, and then the state can determine who's approved and who's not approved and how much a person will have to pay. Now, I do know that the amount had gone up significantly with Obamacare than when it first started, and I think that was because the Republicans then approved the proper fundings, and then the insurance companies started bailing out, and a lot of the young people didn't get in. But the way the new program is set up, the way I think it is, that my understanding is that it's geared toward young people and healthy people, but the elderly, the existing illnesses, and who's to say that any of us can't get in a car accident or whatever and our whole life be turned inside out really quickly, where we need care that we can no longer afford. And at that point, people have to make decisions of whether they eat, whether they live in their homes, or whether they get the medicine. And that should not be the way it is. We are in the United States. It could be a program that all citizens don't have to worry about medical. I mean, even if it meant that all of us pay a little more in order for everyone to be covered, I don't see where that's not the way to go. And I'm sure that can occur if people wanted it to.
As a society, we need to do what's in the best interest of our nation as a whole when it comes to health care. I have to share with you that this is going on my second year of retirement, and my first year when I retired in January, it looked like I was going to pay almost $700 a month for insurance that were equal to what I had when I was as a teacher. And the Orange County or the state of Florida was only going to give me a supplement of $150. And so when I looked into Obamacare and they reduced my $150 insurance down to like $350, and with my supplement of $150 from the state, I was only going to have to pay about $200 a month. Well, that has since raised from $350 to $445, which is still lower than the $700 that I was going to have to pay to have the same thing I had when I was an Orange County teacher. So the Obamacare.
You're talking a month for yourself? For a month for just you?
Just for me.
$445 a month?
$445 a month is what I pay right now, but I have a supplement of $150, which reduces it to $250 a month, because I have a $150 supplement from from the state of Florida. But
oh, good,
it's going to be as high as $700. So you can see where that can become. I pay you know, you that is as high as a person's monthly rent. And so you can see
yes.
where insurance can be a deadly amount of money to somebody's budget, and that would make a person just feel like, I'm going to have to do without health care, because that would be the largest part of their monthly bill. And realizing that.
Yes,
that
and that's the reason why people have to make choices, whether they're going to eat, whether they're going to have somewhere to live. And that should not be the case. That should not be the case. Because people,
exactly.
in most cases, people have worked a long time. Look at yourself. You worked long enough so that you were in a position to retire. You do that because when you are in your retirement age, you want to be able to enjoy your life. You worked and you deserve that.
Yeah, and you're right. And now we're forcing people, in order to maintain their health care, they have to work well into their 60s. And so now people are getting away from retiring after 30 years to actually needing to work as many as 40 years in order, and then by that time, reducing the amount of good years they have to enjoy time off. So you see the whole structure of retirement is changing because of health care.
Yes, you're so right. And, you know, you shared with us the story of your mother. Again, worked hard, put into, you know, the education and the system of our future by educating students and, you know, looking forward to retirement and all, and did not have an opportunity to reap the benefits of what she had really planned for. And neither did you get a chance to reap those benefits. So that's the reason why we need to have something across the board so that people can, you know, we shouldn't have to work all our lives and the majority of our lives and then don't even have time to really enjoy life for ourselves. Not living in the United States.
Exactly. You know, we're not asking, you know, the majority of Americans are not asking to be millionaires. But they're asking, after working for 30 years, to have the ability to live the similar lifestyle to the one that they worked so hard for. And so that should not be something that we should not be capable of. We have Canada that has universal health care, England, Australia, and many other countries have been able to solve the healthcare issue or problem in their country. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to solve the healthcare issue or problem here in the United States.
Yes, I agree. And I know that it's able, it just takes people to do it. And it goes back to, again, what I mentioned earlier, we have to make sure that we flip this thing and let politicians know that they do vote for us. One of the most important cards that we can carry is not an American Express or a Visa or a MasterCard, but it's our voter's registration card. And we have to start making that card speak for us. You know, even
You're
after
so right.
and beyond elections, even before elections, even in, we have this midterm coming up, and even after that election, we have to make sure that we still keep in contact with our congressmen and our senators. Let our voices be heard is correct, not only in a voting booth, but all along the way. That voter's registration card is very important to us, but we have to make it powerful. We have to make it speak.
And we're going to have to push people to go beyond what is the norm. We cannot let the minority of voters determine the path or journey for the majority of voters. There are too few of us voting, and so we're going to have to increase that so that all of us make sure that our voices are heard appropriately. We're going to go to another break, and we'll come back and have our final word.
I am this woman. that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars, the woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Cry.
No.
Make me cry.
No.
Do something behind my back.
What is your final thought for this evening? Andre?
Okay, I'm sorry.
In this political environment, we
Hello?
Oh.
Go ahead.
My final thought is, let's make sure that we're letting our light shine. We're standing tall. We are affirming all that we are capable of and powerful enough to demonstrate.
All right. It's so important that all of us as Americans stand tall and demonstrate our talent and show our commitment to our country and to our Constitution. This democracy can't run the way it's supposed to unless all of us play a part. And so it's important that we stand tall, we stay committed, and we fight for what we think is right. It's so important that we continue to work through the different mediums that we have been given so that our voices can be heard loud and clear.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
There's a train a-comin', You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Georgia, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors of boredom. There's hope for all among those who love the most. The hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Believe me now, have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready. There's a train of coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.